Well, good morning. I'm excited to be here with you this morning as we continue to go through God's Word together and study together and grow closer together through His Word. Today we are continuing our series through the Beatitudes, and we are in Matthew 5, verse 7, which says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time where we can just come together as one body and study your word. And God, I pray that your word will speak to us, that it will move us, and that it will convince us, and that it will change us to be more like you. God, just let us take this word and let it form us and take us and send us. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we are going in the Beatitude talking about mercy. And man, do we love mercy. I mean, we all love mercy. We all love to get away. Mercy is the definition of mercy. It's to not have to suffer the consequences of your actions. And we love to get away with not suffering the consequences of our actions. I mean, ask any kid who doesn't have to go through a punishment for what they did. I remember one time when I was a kid, I think I must have been like 6, and my brother was like 8, and my sister was 4. So we were young, and we were supposed to be in bed about 2 hours before this happened. And sure enough, we weren't in bed. We were upstairs roughhousing and making a bunch of noise. And sure enough, our parents heard us, and they called us all down. And they knew who we were, all 3 up, and we were all causing issues, and we were all causing a racket up there. But they called us all down, and yet they still asked us who was up there causing noise. And here's the thing you need to know about me. My mom could just look my direction, and I would start crying. I was terrified of my mother, and which is good. It taught me a lot. But so I instantly was just like, it was me. I was one making noise. And so because I was the one who admitted that I was making noise, and my brother and sister didn't, they got punished, and I got away with it. And I remember sitting there as they were getting punished, and I was like, man, I'm so glad I got away with that. But we love mercy. We love to get away with the consequences of our actions. Even non-believers love mercy. You see it all the time, through whether you're reading a book, watching a movie, watching a TV show. You see mercy all the time because it's powerful. I'm going to bring up, if you guys remember last time when I preached, I brought up Superman. I love Superman. And I'm going to bring up Superman again. I'm sorry, but I just love him. But in one of my favorite movies, and it's not a very popular movie, a lot of people don't like it, but in Batman versus Superman, has my two favorite, watch it, Zach. It has two of my favorite superheroes in it, Batman and Superman. And in this movie, we see Superman going through a tough time because the world is telling him that they don't want him. They want him to go back to, or they hold up protesting signs that says, "Go back to your planet. We don't want you on our planet." Because, as you know, he's an alien. And they're holding up these signs in protest to him. And in the movie, Superman ends up giving up his life to save everybody else on that planet, to save the planet. They end up fighting the big bad, which his name was Doomsday. And sure enough, he would have caused a doomsday. And Superman gave up his life despite all these people hating him. And frankly, a lot of us would say if people were hateful and angry towards us, that we would have just given up and would have walked away. But no, he still went and sacrificed so that those people could live. And you know why people love that? Because that's Jesus. That's what Jesus did for us. They love mercy because that reflects Jesus and what he did on the cross. They might not realize it, but they love it. We all love mercy. We all love it, except when we have to show it. We all love to have mercy, except when we have to show it. I remember when I was in high school, I worked at Walgreens for 3 years, and I don't ever recommend working at Walgreens, by the way. If you ever look for a job, don't do that. It was not a fun job. But I remember there was one. We had this job every night before we were closing called straightening. It's where we would pull up all the old products on the shelf and make sure the products were on the shelf were all looking nice and everything. And we all had aisles assigned to us. And there was one guy who never, ever. I won't name his name so I don't embarrass him. But he's not in this room or anything. But that'd be awkward. But he never, ever straightened his aisles. He never did it. And technically, if the person didn't straighten their aisles, we're supposed to go and help them. And me thinking, that's just not fair, I never helped him. And sure enough, we ended up finding that all his aisles were all messed up and they were just bad looking. And we all got in trouble for it. Everyone on that shift got in trouble for it, including me. Now, I could have shown mercy to this guy, and I could have straightened his aisles for him, and I wouldn't have gotten in trouble. But no, I did not show mercy to him, and it came back to bite me in the butt. And it's just like as Jason has been saying as we've been going through the Beatitudes can say blessed are those who do these things, but they can also mean happy are those who do these things. And truly, if you show mercy, you will be much happier, but we'll get more into that later. But that's something I experienced firsthand. I would have been much happier if I just showed mercy to this guy and helped him out when he wasn't doing his job. But the thing that's crazy with this passage is it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And that's pretty powerful if you think about that. It sounds a lot like the Lord's Prayer. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Father, forgive us for our trespasses as we... Exactly, and that's a powerful statement if you think about that. Do you really want to be forgiven as you have forgiven others? Do you really want that? Think about that. And it's the same thing here. I think it's pretty clear. If we were going to receive mercy based on how we show mercy to others, then every single person in this room would have failed already. None of us would have been able to succeed successfully do that except Jesus Christ. So no, as we've been going through the Beatitudes that we've been trying to show that this isn't a list of requirements to get in the kingdom of God, but rather it is a list of what the kingdom of God attributes look like, what we look like when we have this new life found in Christ. So that's what I want to do today. I want to go through and look deeper into mercy and see how we can live this new life that we have thanks to the mercy of Christ. And so the first thing I want to talk about today is what exactly is mercy within the kingdom of God. Now, mercy is a term that's often mixed up with grace. And don't get me wrong, these two terms are linked together. They're important. They work together in unison. But yet they are different terms. And so it's important to realize what the difference is and how they work together so that we too can do this in our daily lives. And so mercy is not receiving the consequences of the actions for your actions that you've earned because of your actions. So mercy would be, let's say a criminal goes and steals from a convenience store. And he runs out of the store, and the shop owner gets ready. It calls the police because somebody just stole from him. But he comes to find out that thief stole from him because he just wanted to eat that day because he hadn't eaten in a week. And so the shop owner does not press charges and shows mercy. That's mercy. Grace, on the other hand, is giving something that somebody did not earn. We didn't earn the salvation of Christ, but yet he gave it to us. Grace in this circumstance would be if the same owner, after the criminal stole, offered this criminal a job so that he would no longer have to steal for his food, but rather have an income and buy his own food. He didn't earn that job, but he was given that job. That is grace. And as we can see, often mercy and grace work together. They work together. When we look at how Jesus saved us as he forgave us for our sins. He didn't have us suffer the consequences of our sins, and he forgave us. But he didn't stop there. He gave us a new life found in him. And we have this new life found in him. A good passage that demonstrates this, both these terms working together, is Titus 3, 4 through 5. And sorry, I didn't have it pulled up beforehand. I'm not prepared. Sorry about that. But Titus 3, verses 4 through 5 says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." So we see both mercy and grace in there. He saved us. We didn't earn his salvation, but he saved us. That's grace. And now we also have his mercy. We don't have to suffer the consequences of our past life. We don't have to suffer the consequences of our sin. We didn't earn him saving us, but he saved us nonetheless. But now that we know what mercy is, we have to look at what the promise that comes with mercy in this passage. And I talked a little bit about it already, and like I said, it sounds like the Lord's Prayer. Father, forgive us. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And obviously, like I said, if we were truly judged based on how we forgive others, and we were forgiven based on how we forgive others, nobody in this room would be forgiven. We all, at some point in our life, have struggled with being forgiving towards somebody. Except for Jesus. And Jesus, being perfect, forgave us despite us not earning it. So once again, we see mercy and grace working together hand in hand. And as we also know from, and Don actually just got done reading it, we weren't planning on that, it just kind of happened, but Don read Ephesians 2:8, and it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God." And truly, it is a gift. It's not something that we can earn based on how much mercy or based on how much forgiveness we show, but rather, it is something that God has given to us as a gift. It's not something that we've earned, but it is something that he has truly given, because he is a merciful and he is a holy and he is a good God, a graceful God. And what I really like about this beatitude and the Lord's Prayer is that when you look at them, it really shows how helpless we are without God. Because truly, if we were forgiven or shown mercy based on how much we show mercy or be forgiven, we would fail. We need God. We cannot do it on our own. We need God. But luckily, we do worship a merciful God who has paid for our price, and now we can try again. We can try again to show mercy, to show grace, to show love, even though we have failed before. So let us take that other opportunity and show that mercy. So now I want to look at, why do we need mercy? We now know what mercy is in light of this passage and in light of the Bible, that it's us not having to suffer the consequences of our actions. It's forgiveness in other terms. But why do we need mercy? Well, the first reason is for our spiritual needs. And we already talked about this in communion, obviously. We all know this because we go through communion, so I won't spend too much time on it. But as Romans 3:23 says, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. We've all failed. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, and we need God's mercy. We need his forgiveness. As I said, if God's mercy was dependent on our actions, then none of us would have it. I like to look at Paul, who viewed himself as one of the worst of sinners. That's in 1 Timothy 1:5, where he says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance." This saying deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Man, that takes a lot of humility to say that from Paul, a guy who, frankly, it did a lot more for the kingdom of God than pretty much anybody else except Jesus Christ, who went all over the world proclaiming the gospel and didn't really have a home and spent a lot of time in prison because of what he did. And yet he still says, "Of sinners, who I am the worst." And Paul realized that without God, without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, without the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, that he is nothing. And the same could be said for me. The same thing could be said for Zach in the front row right there. Sorry to point you out, Zach. The same thing could be said for all of us. Without the mercy and the grace of God, we are nothing. We're nothing. We need his mercy. We need his grace. We spiritually need it so that we could have a relationship with him. Because now, because of God's mercy, we no longer have to suffer the punishment of our sins, and we are no longer a rebellious people. We now have a new relationship with Jesus, and we can now live this new life found in him. But not only do we need mercy spiritually, we also need it physically and emotionally. Throughout the Bible, when you look throughout the Bible, you guys probably already know this, there's commandments that God gives, and he doesn't really give a reason for them, but yet we know the reason for them now today. For example, when in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, it talked about how the Israelites are not to eat unclean animals. They're not to eat animals that are already dead, because we know that now today, because if they're not handled properly, they give diseases. That's why there's all these cooking. That's why we have all these laws now for cooking things properly, because we now, and God didn't obviously come and say in the Bible, "Don't eat this because it's uncooked. It has the diseases." They wouldn't have fully understood that. But he just gave them a commandment to follow, and because it was good for them, and they didn't know why. And we now know today why that reason is for that. But the same thing could be said about showing mercy. It's good for us emotionally. It's good for us physically. Mayo Clinic one time did a study looking at people who hold hate for each other and hold anger and hold grudges towards each other, and how that affects not only their relationship, but them personally. And this is the fruit of their study. It can be found on their website today, and I'm just going to read what their website says. And it says, this is just me quoting them, "Letting go of grudges and bitterness can make way for improved health and peace of mind. Forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships, improved mental health, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, which is something we need today with all the political debates and all the COVID-19. That's something we all need. Lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, and improved self-esteem. We now know today, God gave this commandment, but we now know today that having mercy and forgiveness and not holding grudges and not holding hate for anybody is not only good for us spiritually, but it's also good for us physically and emotionally. Mayo Clinic goes on to talk about what happens if you hold grudges and how that affects you. And it says, if you're unforgiving, you might bring anger and bitterness into every relationship and new experience, become so wrapped up in the wrong that you can't enjoy the present, become depressed or anxious, feel that your life or lacks meaning or purpose, or that you're at odds with your spiritual beliefs, or lose valuable and enriching connectedness with others. And I like what Mayo Clinic said at the end. This is at the end of their research article. They just gave like their opinion based on all the research they did. And I like the quote they said, and it's funny because you can find good quotes in secular things today that we can translate into the Bible. But it says this: move away from your role as a victim and release control and power the offending person and the situation have had on your life. And that's true if you think about it. If you're mad and angry at somebody, if you hold a grudge towards somebody, if you are unforgiving or somebody, most of the time that has a hold on your life. It truly does. If we're unmerciful, we're going to let other things have a hold on our life. And as you all know, based on reading the Bible, there's only one thing in this world that should have a hold on your life, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you let your anger, if you let your bitterness, if you let your grudges, if you let your unforgivingness, if you let your unmercy, that's not a word, unmercy. But if you are not merciful towards people and you let them have this hold over you, then how can Jesus Christ have a hold over you? He can't. God commands us to have mercy, not only because it's spiritually and physically good, but also because if we don't have mercy, we are letting those who have been done wrong to us have a hold over us that he should only have towards us. So I encourage you, have mercy towards those who have wronged you. Have mercy to those who have not done right. No matter what they have done to you, no matter what they have said to you, no matter what they have done, you should show them mercy because Jesus Christ is the only one who should have a hold over our life. And so I just want to close the day with just asking a question. And I'm not just going to ask this question to be done, but there's more to it. But the question is, do you show mercy? And if we're going to show mercy, we need to look at Jesus' life and look at who he showed mercy to. One thing I wanted to mention was, and Jason mentioned this last week, but the woman who committed adultery. And he showed mercy to this woman who was full of sin and full of wrongdoing, and yet he showed mercy to her. And Jason read it last week, so I won't read it again. But I do want to read the end of it where he says, sorry, let me find it real quick. He said, where are your accusers? And didn't even one of them condemn you? And she said, no, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Now, we need to remember Jesus is God. And when people live in sin, they are in direct rebellion to God. And yet Jesus looked at this woman who was living in sin and was in direct rebellion to God. And he said, I don't hold you to your sin anymore. And go and sin no more. Do we have that same mindset when somebody wrongs us? When somebody is against us? Do we have that same mindset when somebody shares different beliefs than us? When should they share different political beliefs? How about that? That's something that's pretty evident today as an election year is coming up. We hold a lot of anger, and I do this too with people. I'm more conservative, I'm just going to say that. But for people who are liberal, I hold a lot of anger towards them because of what they believe. And yet I am supposed to show mercy to those people. I'm supposed to show forgiveness and love to those people because I'm letting them have a hold over me. And that only person that's supposed to have a hold over me is Jesus Christ. But who's another person that Jesus showed mercy to? And I think the most powerful example of mercy ever in all of humanity is when Jesus is hanging upon the cross and there are people beneath him as he's going through one of the most painful deaths ever created. That death was created to be the most painful death created. And as he's hanging there suffering, There are people beneath him casting lots for his clothes. Man, what a big slap in the face. And what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. What a powerful example of mercy. And do we show mercy like that? So who do you need to show mercy to in your life? Because Jesus showed mercy to all people he came across, even people casting lots for his clothes. And I've struggled to show mercy throughout my life. I've shared before, and I'm sure the students are sick of hearing this because I talk about it all the time, but I was bullied when I was a kid, really bad, to the point where they had a game called Beat Up Dan, and they would take me after school and beat me up every single day. And for the longest time, I didn't forgive my bullies. And I'm not going to name them just because I know this is going to be online. I don't want anybody for me pointing out anybody online because that's even more embarrassing. But even after high school, one of them messaged me on Facebook one time and said, I'm sorry for the way I treated you in school. And I said it's all right, but I know deep down in my heart I still held resentment for it. And I realized as I was going through college that they still had a hold over me to the point where I would sit there and the moment I started thinking about it, I would start crying. And I realized Jesus can't have a full hold over me as long as I'm letting those guys have a hold over me still to this day and letting their bullying affect me. And so I realized that I had to forgive them so that Jesus could truly have a place in my life, so that I could truly have a complete hold over my life. And so my question for you, who is your bully? Who is the person that has wronged you? Who is the person that has done wrong towards you? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to hold mercy to? Who still has a hold over your life when Jesus is the only one who should have a hold over your life? That's just something we need to ask ourselves, because that's one of the biggest troubles we see today, and not only in this country but all over the world, is a lack of forgiveness and a lack of mercy. And if there's one thing we saw that Jesus did when he was here on earth, and that was show mercy. So let us hold mercy for those who have wronged us, those we disagree with, who have done wrong in this world. Let us hold mercy for them so that they no longer have a hold over our life, and that Jesus Christ is the only one who has a hold over it. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can come and read your word and grow closer together in your word, God. And God, I pray that you empower us to show mercy, even just a fraction of how you showed mercy, God. And God, I pray that we won't let the people of this world have any hold over us or let the enemy have any hold over us, but God, that you will be the only one with a hold over us. That we will realize that we need to let go of the past and realize that you are the future, that you are true life, and that you are all that we need. So God, let us move past our old selves. Let us move past all those people who have wronged us, and let us completely let you change us, God. God, you're a good God who wants to change us, and I thank you for the mercy that you've showed to us, and I pray that we can reflect it just back to others, God. God, thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.